And you said, so you came back. I said, they fed me. You put food, preachers eat. We like to eat. How are you doing tonight? After a song service, what's that? Happy and on our way to heaven, praise the Lord. After a song service like that, we could have kept singing. That would have been revival right there. That was wonderful. Thank you. Appreciate that. So glad that you came out tonight, and I have a few friends that decided to show up tonight. And I'm grateful, and I'm thankful, and I'm honored that you guys decided to show up. Brother Bud and his crew, they showed up. They came to all the way to Pikeville, Kentucky, to do some work with IDES, and I got to meet the whole crew. And I can't believe you came after meeting me. I mean, you should have learned your lesson. But Brother Bud did a Wednesday night class for us, and it was phenomenal. I had all of our people on the edge of their seat, and it was wonderful. And when he comes back, we're going to have him do it again. He didn't know it. Now he does. And then Brother Harvey Hacker's here tonight. And Harvey Hacker and I go way back. I had Harvey Hacker in Louisiana for revival. It was 26 years ago, 25 years ago. Every bit of. He's still ugly. He ain't changed a bit. I can joke like that from right here because I know if he was right here, I would get land blasted with two barrels. I know it already. And if you know Harvey, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Harvey came to my house and spilled coffee all the way down my wife's hall. And that wasn't me. It wasn't him. I joke to him about that all the time because he heard the story about a preacher who did spill coffee down my wife's hall. And she had to go behind him with a rag and pick it up. And he gets a kick out of that every time. So every time I see him, I blame him. He says, no, that wasn't me. And it wasn't him. It was the guy before him. But Harvey gets the blame to this day. We had to change the carpet because of Harvey. One of the ladies were walking in tonight and she said, I forgot my Bible. It's a revival. I hate to tell you this. Tonight, you won't need your Bible. It's revival. But you're not going to need your Bible. And because I'm going to go through so many different areas of the scriptures tonight, we're not going to be able to turn to them. I did not get with the videographer up there to make sure that we had PowerPoint. So we are relying on my memory. That means we in trouble. It's just all there is to it. Those of you that were at the family camp, you'll remember that I did a sermon on the Apostle Andrew. He remembered it before I said it. It's one of my favorite messages, and this particular message we're going to do on John, the Apostle John. And I earmarked this message because when a preacher's wife comes and tells you and says, that's one of my favorite messages you ever preached, you put that away to the side and you preach that again somewhere else because evidently you... Now, it might be a one and done. Hopefully it wasn't one and done back then. Maybe it'll be one and done after tonight. Hopefully that'll be the case. But I want to talk about the Apostle John. Whenever we first see John and he comes on the scene in the Gospels, we find John exactly where we're supposed to find him. We find John dealing with the family business. Can I move this again? Thank you. Y'all are right. It's heavy. We find John exactly where we're supposed to find him. I feel like I'm going around it. All right, we find John exactly where we're supposed to find him. He's tending to his nets. He's dealing with the family business. Now, Jesus, we know, Jesus was an itinerant preacher. He was going from town to town. He was going from village to wilderness to countryside. He was preaching. He was teaching. He was doing this great healing ministry all over the place. And Jesus is all over, and he comes upon one day. It's just an ordinary day in the life of John where John and his brother James are tending to their nets. And Jesus says to him, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now, the Bible tells us, Matthew and Mark tell us that John and his brother James left together. But Luke is the gospel that tells us that they left all to follow Jesus. He answered the call of Jesus to go and follow him. Jesus says, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Now you and I, we know the song. I will make you a man, fishers of men, fishers of men. Come on. I will make you if you follow me. Now before that became such a wonderful song that we teach young people, and many of us remember that song. It doesn't matter how young or how old we learn it. It's an easy song that we know. We know about the song being fishers of men. But it was more than just a play on words to John. Because we go back all the way to Jeremiah, the 16th chapter and the 16th verse, and we see that God talks about making people fishermen and they will fish them. This was about the coming of the Messiah that was going to come, and how there was going to be a revival and there was going to be repentance. And so this was more than just a play on words. You know, some people say Jesus is saying, fish, I'll make you fishers of men because of their occupation. No, this goes all the way back into the book of Jeremiah, where it was foretold that God was going to make them fishermen. They were going to go out and they were going to fish for people. And so John knows about this. This is his history. We talked about this, we talked about this book where we have this as our Bible, but this was their Bible. You know, that Old Testament, they knew it. And to a Jew, it wasn't a play on words. That was something that they knew was coming with the Messiah. You know, it's a many of an ordinary day that God does call people into his service. It was an ordinary day for Abram whenever God tells him and says, I want you to get from your country and get from your kindred, and I want you to go to a land in which I'm going to show you. It was an ordinary day on the backside of nowhere when God says, Moses, Moses, I want you to go to Pharaoh and I want you to get my Israelite people and I want you to let them go. I want you to lead them out of Egypt. It was just another ordinary day whenever David was tending his father's sheep. Whenever God told Samuel, you go, and that's the one I want you to anoint. It was an ordinary day at the tax office when Jesus said to Matthew, follow me. It was an ordinary day, I'm sure, that Saul had made the trip many times into Damascus. And it was just another ordinary day when that bright light came upon him and he was told to go into Damascus and he would be told what he must do. See, I told you we were going to go through a whole lot of scripture. Just ordinary days. And I want you to know that the call of Jesus Christ continues to go out each and every single ordinary day. And if you're not a Christian this evening, the call still is going out to you. God wants you to answer the call to follow Jesus Christ, to be his disciple. And whenever John was going to answer that call, it was going to take courage. That's the second thing we learn about John. He was a man who was a man of courage. I want you to think about that, what it would have meant. He had a business. We know that it must have been a very wealthy business because they had hired servants. He had a boat. He had a net. He had property, family, home, had a place to lay his head at night. It was going to take courage to follow Jesus Christ. Jesus comes out of nowhere and says, hey, follow me. I'm going to make you fishers of men. And he takes off and he goes. It says, he and his brother James went and followed Jesus. That's going to take courage. And it takes courage each and every day whenever you and I get up in the morning and say, this is the day that the Lord has made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm going to follow Jesus today. You know, we have to make that statement every single day that we are going to decide to follow Jesus. Satan is out there roaring like roaming about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And he wants to get you first thing in the morning. We got to get up in the morning and say, I'm going to get up and I'm going to follow Jesus today. We got to eat lunch. And after lunch, and we got to go back to work, we got to say, I'm going to continue to follow Jesus today. It's got to be a daily process for us, and it takes courage. You know, there was a guy that came up to Jesus one time, a scribe came up to Jesus in Luke, and he said, I'm going to follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says, the foxes have holes, the birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. It takes courage to follow Jesus because you do not know where Jesus is going to take you. He might take you on an IDE trip down to Pikeville, Kentucky. Jesus might take you to a foreign mission field. I'll never go to a foreign mission field. I've heard people say that before, and then all of a sudden, a burden gets put on their heart because of a mission that came to their church, and all of a sudden, 6 months later, they're in Africa. I know of a young lady right now who works on the African mission field. I never would have thought she would have ever been. I thought she was too prim and proper for that. She works in the mission field in Africa. Praise the Lord. She never knew that God was going to take her there. Following Jesus is going to take courage because you never know where it's going to end up. I always did say that being a Christian, the Christian life is like a bed of roses. And you know what it's like if ever you go and pick a rose. There's thorns in there. The rose is the most wonderful flower. It has a great smell. When I buy my wife roses, she loves it. I'm on her good side whenever roses come calling at home. If I were to go pick those roses, and we have a couple rose bushes, there's thorns. Christian life is the best life that there ever is, but there will be thorns along the way. I want you to know that there are going to be Egypts that are going to have to be forsaken. There are going to be wildernesses that you're going to have to go through. There are going to be days you're going to have to wake up and look Satan in the eye, and you're just going to have to say, not today. You're not going to have your way with me today. And it takes courage to stand up to Satan. A lot of courage to stand up to Satan. Whenever I think about him having that courage, that causes me to even go in a little bit further into his character. Got to think about the character of John. What's John known for? Anybody want to shout it out? Somebody said it, but I'm deaf. What's he known for? Love. Before John was known about his love, Jesus gave he and his brother a nickname, and they were called Sons of Thunder. And that was not a nickname that you gave somebody that they would have been mighty proud of. I want you to think about it. I want you to understand who John was before Jesus really changed his life. There was a time whenever they went into a Samaritan village. And Jesus goes into this Samaritan village, and if you'll recall, they didn't accept Jesus. James and John come up to Jesus and they say, Lord, do you want us to call fire down out of heaven like Elijah did? They had such a hot, quick temper that they were willing for God to exterminate an entire village because of their lack of hospitality. That's who John was. I don't know if we realize that's John. There was another time whenever John was coming to meet Jesus. He said, Lord, we saw somebody who was casting out demons in your name, and we told them to quit. I don't know if John was trying to protect the brand, if he didn't like people on the outside doing anything in the name of Jesus who weren't part of the inner circle. But you remember what Jesus said. If they're not against us, they're for us. There was a time Jesus told his disciples about his coming crucifixion. We talked about that a lot yesterday morning, didn't we? And he told them in detail how he was going to be beaten, how he was going to be spit upon, and how he was going to be crucified. But before that, he had told the disciples that they were going to sit on 12 thrones and they were going to judge the 12 tribes of Israel. James and John, they came up to Jesus and they said, Lord, when you come into your kingdom, allow one of us to sit on your left and the other to sit on your right. You know how James and John are often referred to in Scripture, don't you? They're referred to as Peter, James, and John. They were the inner three. They weren't satisfied with being Peter, James, and John. They wanted to be elevated just a little bit more. And they wanted it to be Jesus, James, and John. That is the character of the Apostle John. What changed him? Have you ever thought about that? Well, if you never thought about who John really was before Jesus changed his life, then you might not have ever thought about the change that would have come over John. But there was a time in which John had a change. And I think that it happened at the last Passover in the upper room. John is the only one who spends five chapters on telling us the things that Jesus said that night. The others give us snippets, but John goes into detail. Here's a piece of information for you. John went into that room as a son of thunder, but he came out a different person. Because during the discourse of those five chapters that he tells of what Jesus says, he mentions the word love 16 times, where the other gospel writers don't mention it once. He went in one guy, he came out a different one. That night changed John immensely. I'd like to know what all that took place that really had such an impact. Now, I know we have five chapters, but it had such an impact in John's life. The whole evening that he was surrounded with changed this man forever. In fact, it changed John so much that the number one verse in the world is the one verse that speaks about love that John wrote. For God so loved the world. John later would go on and he would expound upon God's love. He says, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God." Oh, my friends, this evening, if you don't get anything else, I want you to get this. As a child of God, you are showered with His love. The world is desiring the love that we actually enjoy every single day. Why do you think the world is going to hell in a handbasket? Because they're constantly looking for something else to fulfill their life. But nothing is going to fulfill the life of an individual like the love of God that we share. Wow. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we can be called the children of God. Then we come to the charge of John. And the charge of John we find at the foot of the cross. In that charge, all the other disciples have fled, but John is at the foot of the cross. And Jesus says to John, with Mary at his side, "Behold your mother." And the scripture says, "And from that day forth, he took her to his home." Church family, look around you. Look at the brothers and the sisters that you have. Look at the spiritual mothers and the spiritual fathers that you have. I love what Paul says about Timothy, where he calls him my son in the faith. They weren't related any other way than by the blood of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to tell you something we need in the church. We need spiritual fathers and spiritual mothers to the young people in this congregation. We need young people to have people that they can look up to. But I'm going to tell you something, church. The young people won't have anybody to look up to if you shun the call to follow Jesus. If you don't have the courage to take what is there in order to be able to stand for Jesus Christ, come what may. Let me tell you something. There's many a people who have failed in following Jesus Christ. And God is looking for us to stand in that gap and to continue to move forward. We need this church to continue to move forward. This church is rock solid. I believe it with all my heart. I've talked with you people. I've heard the Sunday school lesson. I've went to the school. I've seen the kids in the school. And I tell the kids, flip to such and such. They flipped. They knew where they were going. I've been to places where the kids don't know what Genesis is compared to Matthew or Revelation. It's a rock solid church. But we got to be careful. Because Satan is seeking to kill your soul. Oh, you might not like to hear it, but I'm telling you now, Satan is looking for you to be the opposite of what John is. Satan is looking for you to be weak. Satan is looking for you to give in. Satan is waiting. He's watching. He's lurking around the corner for that one single moment that he can attack. And unfortunately for many of us, that moment will come. We will fail. We are not perfect. I was talking with a young lady about a month ago, and she's ready to give her life to the Lord. And she said, I'm just afraid that I'm a fail. I said, guess what? I'm going to tell you the truth of this matter right now. You will. We all do. But we have the promise that we confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful? What manner of love the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. As most of you know, I got four kids. As some of you know, I got four. Now y'all know I got four kids. And I got a perfect brood. And if you believe that, then you know I'm a liar. My kids have failed. They've disappointed me. They've disobeyed me. And there's not been one time whenever they failed me or they disobeyed me where I said, I don't want to have nothing to do with you no more. That same way with our God. When we fail Him, when we disobey Him, when we slip, when we fall, let's just get right down to it and say, when we sin, when we repent, He wants us back. I love to think about the prodigal son. I hate to call it the prodigal son, even though that's the heading in my Bible. It says the prodigal son. I like for it to be called the lost son. Actually, it should say the lost sons in that text. You know the text. And I love the fact that old God, old daddy, God is sitting on the front porch. Just waiting for that lost son to come home. And the beautiful thing about God is that when that lost son or lost daughter finally finds their way and finally wakes up and realizes it's my fault, it's not God's fault. God doesn't stay sitting on the porch. No, God comes running with open arms, ready to take back those that have wandered away. I don't know what your situation is personally. I don't know you personally. But I know one who does. His name is Jesus. And Jesus Christ died on a cross over 2,000 years ago so that you and I would have the opportunity to be called children of Almighty God. And if you're not a Christian tonight, He wants you to be His child. The greatest of creation are the only ones who have a Savior that can redeem their poor soul. We are the greatest of God's creation. He loves us enough that He sent Jesus Christ to die on a cross. John was there at the foot of the cross. And God wants you to accept the call to be His disciple. I don't know if you know this or not, but all of us are a disciple of something. Follower. My son, my oldest son, worked out. He muscles bulging out all over the place. They're not anymore because he quit working out, but at one time he was working out. And he had people that he followed so he could learn different routines. He became somebody's disciple. Some of you like to cook. And so maybe you follow somebody on Instagram or Facebook or YouTube or whatever it is. And they tell you a recipe. So you go out and you buy all the ingredients and you get everything down and you sit there and then you watch that video and you add it and you add it. You stir it. Oh, I stirred it too hard. So you got to start over. But you become their disciple. You're following everything that they tell you to do. You're a disciple of somebody. You ain't going to like it. You're either a disciple of Jesus Christ or you're a disciple of Satan. Everybody serves a master. Everybody serves a master. I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to offend you. Let me rephrase that. I don't want to offend you, but I do want to hurt you. If you're not a disciple of Jesus Christ, you're a disciple of Satan. I hope it hurts. Because Jesus came so that you would be His disciple. And He wants you to be His disciple. He loves you that much. While we were yet sinners, Christ did what? Died for us. He didn't wait for me to be good. He did it while I was bad. And He wants to bring you into His family. That, my friends, in a nutshell, is John. He accepted the call. He's a man of courage. His character was tainted. He had a change in his heart where he went from a son of thunder to the apostle of love. And he answered the charge at the foot of the cross to take care of Jesus' mother. There's an old tradition. John is lying on his deathbed. And John kept saying, "Little children, love one another. Little children, love one another." They leaned in close and they said, "Is there not anything else that you would like to say?" And John said, "It is enough because it's the Master's command." Let's pray. Almighty God, we give you all honor, glory, and praise. And we know that we are mortal. We fail you so many times. Even our best days are as filthy rags. And Lord, we really do try. But boy, Satan does know how to get in and grab a hold of us and tempt us. And sometimes we give in. For that, we're sorry. We ask for forgiveness. We repent of that. And Lord, make us new again. Help us to be stronger. Help us to have more courage. Help us to have more fortitude. Help us to be able to say no. Help us to stand in the gap. Lord, just help us to stand so that Satan cannot have his way with our lives. But we know that there's those here who have never given their life to Jesus Christ. And they need to answer the call that's given right now for them to come and have Jesus as their own Lord and Savior. And I pray right now, Father, that those that are outside of Christ will truly not walk out those doors until they say, "Yes, I'll follow Jesus." And may the church family here gather them in their arms
love them and encourage them and strengthen them so that this body becomes even stronger day by day, week by week, year by year, and that it will be still standing at the end of time. Father, may we truly see that the change that happened in John can happen in my life. And may we want that. And so we close this evening's service and we ask your blessings. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.